Some of us have had a prom. Oh, I just maybe it was when he asked you to marry him, or maybe when it was you had your first child. You never forget, do you? I remember when I had my third child. It's all around food with me. How come? But I remember when I had my third child. I was just about ready to dig into some pasta. I was at St. Peter's Hospital in New Brunswick, and the baby came fast. The baby came in 23 minutes. I was hoping for like 8 hours at least, but it didn't happen. So I want you to think about events, because today we are going to talk about the greatest event ever that existed since the world began, that if it wasn't for that event, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for that event, we would be lost in our sins. If it wasn't for that event, we would have no hope, no future, no anything. On that day, early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ dropped the biggest bomb of all, the mother of all bombs, on Satan, on hell, on sin. And he rose again. He busted out of that tomb. And he rose again, sealing our victory. It was a sneak attack. You see, the story of Jesus, if you're not familiar, he came as God's son. He came as a little baby, and he lived a life of purity, and he went around healing people, but they didn't accept him. They rejected him, and they beat him, and they tortured him on a cross, and they spit at him, and they put him naked on a cross, and he poured out his blood on that cross, and all he could say was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The enemy had thought they had won. The Romans had thought they had won. The ruling Jewish authorities had thought they had won. Satan had thought they had won. Then Jesus uttered these last words, "It is finished." And it is finished. And the thing is, the enemy might have thought it's finished for him, but actually what Jesus was actually saying, it's not finished, it's just beginning. And he busted through that wall, and he got up and rose again from the grave on the third day. And that is exactly why we're here today. The greatest event in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in our hearts, amen. He got up. And because he got up, we could get up in life. And what we're going to do is I want to take us back to that event, and then I want to talk about the effects of that event in our lives. Because an event is only so, you know, burned in our memory as it affects us, right? If an event didn't affect us, like you may have went out on a date with some woman or some man, you don't even remember their names because it didn't affect you for life. But there's certain events like we talked about that will affect us forever. I remember the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We'll have an opportunity today. I'll never forget the date, January 10th, 1978, okay, I'll say it, where Jesus became real to me. But I want to take us back to that day of that event, and the disciples were all totally bummed out because they had lost their friend. He had spent 3 years with them, eating with them, praying with them, healing. Everywhere he went, he did good things, but they thought it was all over. They didn't quite understand. They thought that he was nice, but he died and it was over. And some of the disciples, the women went to prepare some spices for his body. And one of them, Mary Magdalene, who Jesus healed, she had demons in her and she was a prostitute. But just like our Savior, and I want to say you're never too far from God. You're never too far from his love. He wonderfully saved her. She went to the tomb to try to prepare more of his body, and the body wasn't there. So she runs to his disciples, and she finds Peter and John, and she says, "Guys, I don't know what happened. His body's gone." And we see here in John 20, right behind me here, that Peter, now Peter's like a middle-aged dude at this point, and John's like probably about a late teen or something like that. So They get up and go, what? His body is gone. Let's go. So they actually run toward, and Peter, being kind of chubby like me and out of shape, and middle-aged and so forth, probably has a heart condition, eating too much stuff, all that fat stuff in the Middle East. He runs, but he doesn't get there first. John gets there first, but John doesn't go in. But we see here that Peter went in, and he saw something remarkable. He saw something that affected him for the rest of his life. What he saw there was an empty tomb, but he also saw something more. He saw the linens all by themselves and the face cloth. Actually, it's like a shell of nothing there but a mummy, but there's nothing inside of it because the body is gone, because the power of God raised Jesus from the dead, and he burst out of that tomb, and he got up. Because he got up, Peter's life was affected all throughout history. Now, just to set this up, these disciples, what were they doing? They were hiding. They were afraid of the Jewish rulers. They were afraid of the Romans because, don't forget now, just 3 days before, Peter, he loved Jesus, but he didn't just have the faith. You ever feel like that, where you want to love God, but you just don't have that faith? And what he did in front of all the people, when a little slave girl, she says, you were with him. And Peter, this big, burly fisherman, says, I wasn't with him. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And he went away weeping bitterly. And he felt dejected. He felt lost. He felt hopeless. He had nothing to look forward to at all. And these disciples, they had nothing to look forward to at all. But that one event, when Peter came to that tomb, changed him forever. And John later on goes into the tomb. We're going to see that later on. And he looks and sees and he believes. And what happened, the rest is really history, because what happened just a few days later, Peter, who was once afraid of these people, was up proclaiming the good news of Jesus, proclaiming in front of thousands of people that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, that he got up from the grave. He got up, and now you can have new life through him. And that's the power of the gospel. And through that, centuries have now continued. And this mother of all events has reverberated all throughout history. And that's why even today we're affected by that event right there. And so today we're going to be in 1 Peter. We're going to talk about what are the effects of the resurrection. What are they? And I want to read this with you in 1 Peter. And I'm going to take this out right now. If you have a Bible, you can take that out. And it should be on the screen too, though, if you have one. Right here. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And he says this. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. Let's stop right there for a minute. Who's thankful for God's mercy today? Who wouldn't even be here, maybe even alive today, if it wasn't for God's mercy? I know, I feel like that. I know without God's mercy, I don't know what I would be doing right now. Probably dead, absolutely dead right now. But the way I'm crazy, all the things I've been through. But it says here that in his grace, mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. This is why we rejoice, because though now you may suffer a little while, and by the way, when you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer no matter what. Look at all the suffering in the world. There's going to be suffering in the world. But as we see, we have a Savior who's going to be with us. He's going to walk with us everywhere we go. Wherever he goes, he's going to be with us. And it says here that you're going to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. Think about the kinds of trials you may be suffering right now in your life. But these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith. And this is why we're here, the salvations of our soul. And one of the first things we see here in God's mercy and the effects of the resurrection is that he has given us a new birth. He has given us a new beginning in life. And I can't tell you, guys, a number of people, like I said, I remember the day I gave Jesus my heart. So many of us wish we could start all over again. So many of us wish I could just go back to that day and rerun the clock. Anybody feel like that? Man, why did I do that? Sometimes I feel like that about things like, why did I eat that? You know, I want to go back and not eat that, but it's too late. Many of us walk around with guilt. Many of us have walked around with bad decisions that we've made and so forth. But what he's saying here is you have a new birth when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And look at that. It's a living hope. He fills you with his spirit, and the scripture actually says you become a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is because of the resurrection. Because Jesus died and rose again on that cross, he took all of the sin that you ever committed. He took all of the junk in your life, and he poured it out on his body. And all we need to do is appropriate that by faith. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my past. And he promises to take that. And by faith, the scriptures say, he became sin for us on that cross. That he actually, and it's I don't understand it, but he actually became sin and took on all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of the junk that we got involved with in our past, present and future. He took that in his body on that cross when he died, and when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And by faith, we can come to him. And the moment you come to him by faith and trust him, you have a new birth. I love that word. It's called anagenesis in Greek. And it's more than just a new birth. It's more than just like when you see like this hotel, actually, believe it or not, has been renovated. We actually used to meet here as Oasis 5 years ago. It was called Hotel 304 West. Johnny Napkins, there was a restaurant right over here, and it was kind of like a little, I must say, a little seedy looking. And now look what happened. They put $40 million into this place. $40 million renovation. You wouldn't even know it's the same place. There's another ballroom over there with a staircase and everything else. It's just crazy amazing. And so it's been renovated. And that's good, right, to be renovated. But that's not what God's saying here. God's saying something even deeper. He's saying, I'm not just going to renovate you. I'm going to plow down what was there, and I'm going to rebuild from scratch. I'm going to regenerate you from the inside out. I'm going to make you so new that no one's going to recognize you anymore as that way. And turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not the same person I was. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're not the same person you were. Now, you're going to look the same maybe, and you're going to maybe smell the same. You might eat the same stuff. But in God's eyes, you're perfect creation, and you're worth it. He loved you. Think about how much he loves you to recreate you and forgive you in this way. And that's what it means. And I was a probation officer, as a lot of you know. I worked on the streets, and I spent a lot of time in the jails talking to people and on the streets. I love working with street people and so forth like that. And my heart breaks when I meet someone. And I shared this story a number of years ago, but most of you didn't hear it, where I went to one jail and I shared the story of Jesus. And I said, son, he was 19 years old. He was in the workhouse. I said, son, you have a God that loves you so much. I know you've done things wrong. I know you've sinned, and he was bad. All of his probation officers says, David, there's no hope for this guy. Even his mother told me, there's no hope for this guy. And when your mother tells you there's no hope for you, it's pretty bad, right? Because, you know, moms, you know, mostly they think the best of you. But even then, but I went there, and I shared with him the love of Jesus, and he said, man, I wish that were true. I wish that could be true. I wish I could be done over, but I've done too many things. I'm too far gone for anything to come of this message that you're sharing with me today. And I spent about an hour and a half trying to plead with him, and because he couldn't just take it. But I want to tell you that you're never so far away from the grace of God to be reborn and given a living hope in Jesus Christ. That word hope, by the way, in there is more than just the hope the world has. It's not like the finger-crossing hope. You know, well, I hope I'm an Oakland Raider fan. I'm a football fan. I hope the Raiders win the World Series. I hope the Raiders win the Super Bowl next year. That's a hope. But the kind of hope that this is talking about is an surety. When God says it, it already happened, even though it didn't happen yet in his eyes. And you could hope in God. You could bank on his promises. And anyway, I shared that message with this guy, and didn't happen. He cried. I cried. I left. I prayed for him. Do you know, about eight months later, this guy walks into my office. There's a secretary there, and she says, David, there's someone to see you. And I said, I don't have an appointment. And she says, but he wants to see you. And I said, okay, tell him I'm eating or something. And I was tired and so forth. But, you know, he insists he wants to see you. So, okay, bring him in. And I didn't even recognize him. His name was Devin Lewis. And he said, David? And I said, yes. I think he called me Mr. Butler, actually. And I said, yes. I said, don't you know who I am? And I said, no. And he says, I'm the guy you shared Jesus with. I want to tell you that Jesus made me over. He dealt with my past. He dealt with all of that junk, that brokenness, that pain. He dealt with that, and he forgave me. And I got down on my knees in the street corner of Perth Amboy, and there was a street preacher there. And, you know, God doesn't waste circumstances, all right? And no matter what you're going with, God does not waste a circumstance. You're not here by accident. Anything that happens, God doesn't waste pain. He doesn't waste circumstances. He has a plan for your life if you just surrender it over to him. But he says, this guy, he was a street preacher, and he says, you know, I don't know what it was. I know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit calling him. Like today, the Holy Spirit is calling some of you guys to become believers in Jesus, to surrender. I couldn't help. I just got down on my knees. I didn't care who saw me, and he was a gang member. I don't care who saw me. I don't care what happened. I wanted Jesus. I wanted to know because I got down for him because he died for me and rose again from the grave. And he accepted him. And to this day, he does counseling and so forth. He helps others like that. Isn't God like that? I want to thank the Lord for that. It constantly amazes me when I see people come through the church door and says, oh, if I come to church, this place might burn down. And don't get nervous, guys, the manager's here. I run into people all the time, and those are the people that I know God's going to do something. When you hear someone say, if I did this, he wouldn't want me. And I meet people all the time like that. And, you know, God wants us to be holy, of course. And he doesn't just look on our sin and go, oh, that's okay. That's why Jesus died. Think how much he loves you. If you have a self-esteem issue today, look at the cross. He died for you. He bled for you. He weeps for you. I had a self-esteem issue myself growing up. And it was only when I became a Christian that I realized I was worth something. You're worth something. And no matter if you had a past, through Jesus Christ, he deals with that past through the resurrection. Now, there's the cross, the burial, and then the resurrection. And that's exactly what happens here. And then there's another effect of the resurrection. The second effect of the resurrection is this we see in 1 Peter. And by the way, now Peter, don't forget, Peter rejected Jesus at that time. He didn't want to, but remember he was scared. And now Peter, this first Peter was written 30 years later. And Peter had gone through a lot. This is, if you go to a Roman Catholic church, St. Peter right here. He's gone through so much. He was rejected. He was people were trying to kill him for sharing the good news about Jesus. He's been beaten. People wanted to kill him. And he was all over the place for 30 years, and it never got old for him. Because of that one event back then, this one event, what he saw in that empty tomb and what he saw after followed him his whole life. And now he's sharing now as a real old guy, a very old man now. He's sharing his wisdom. He says, guys, Jesus will deal with your past. Don't worry about that. He's talking to, by the way, Christians from modern-day Turkey right now. That's where that is. That's Turkey. And they're going through difficult times. I know it's Easter Sunday. But I know, and some of for Easter, you know, we dress up in our nice little outfits and so forth. But there's a lot of suffering in this room. There's a lot of people that are going through hard times, and that's why this is a wonderful message dealing with the resurrection. And because Jesus got up on that third day, all because he got up. So Peter is sharing this amazing advice with these people who are going through suffering, letting them know that there's a purpose in the suffering. Not only will God deal with your past, but he'll deal with your future. How many of you guys are worrying about your future inheritance, right? Maybe there's monetary inheritance. How about just your future? With all the crazy stuff we're seeing on it's so relevant today. All the crazy stuff, North Korea. I can't even keep it straight half the time. Syria, North Korea, this one has this bomb, Russia, that, whatever, and so forth and so on. And what Peter is saying is the resurrection has taken care. I want to go back to that scripture. The resurrection, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have something to look forward to. If you're a believer in Jesus, it doesn't end at the cross. In fact, it doesn't end at the cross, whether you believe it or not, because it didn't end at the cross for Jesus, and it's not going to end at death for you if you have trust in him. If you have faith in him, you actually follow his coattails to heaven with him. What an amazing thing that is. And I love, there's that scripture there. So this inheritance, look, it can't soil, it can't fade. And even though he says you're going to go through some difficult times, some of us are going through difficult physical times. But he got up. Some of you are going through hard financial times. Hey, but he got up. Some of you are going through times where there's hard relationship times, and maybe you're going through a divorce, but he got up. Some of you are going through times where you don't even want to take the next step. Maybe you're even thinking about taking your own life, but he got up. For us, there's hope. For us, there's a future. For us, there's an inheritance, and we can look forward to that. And I was just, it's funny, you know, I had a really rough week, I was sick at the beginning of the week and this and that, and halfway through the week, I just felt like, I want to give up. But then I'm doing this message. And Lord, you're going to have to fill me, Lord, because I have nothing left. And then I remembered, even though I'm feeling like this, I have an inheritance. I have a future because Jesus got up from the dead. If he got up, and that's why I keep saying he got up. I keep saying that because the resurrection is the focal point of everything. And if Jesus got up, if he resurrected, is there any problem? If God raised the dead, if God raises the dead in his own son, is there anything he can't do? Absolutely not. There's no burden he can't bear. There's no problem right now that you're going through that he cannot take care of because he got up. And so we see here in John, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, that there's this beautiful future inheritance which culminates when Jesus comes back. Someday Jesus is going to come back for his kids. It's not the end, it's the beginning. When Jesus says it's finished, he meant it was the beginning. And for the Christian, if you know Jesus today, you have such a future ahead of you. It's like the best is yet to come. And I love seeing, even in our own church, I've had two deaths in our church that I've seen. One was a woman. She's so cute. She's 85 years old. She would never tell us her age. Aunt Ellen, we called her. And we're a young church, and Aunt Ellen called me up and said, I want to come to your church. And I said, no, you're not. The music's too loud. I said, and she goes, yes, I do. I like loud music, even though she didn't like loud music. It was just funny. And she was so cute, you know. She was so cute. She was so classy, too. She dressed so well and so forth. And most of us, if you come back next week, and I hope you do, don't expect me to wear this. All right, I'm sweating to death in this thing. It's going to be jeans and a nice shirt, and we'll be professional and all in Jesus' name, amen. But come relax. We're a relaxed church. We believe in relationship around here. It's all about Jesus, and we want to grow. But the funny thing is, she was so cute, and she came. And when she came in, she go, you know, she just took some earplugs and so forth. And I said, she's not coming back. And she came back. And she came back, and she came back, and she was like the matriarch of our church. We just started this church 6 years ago, and she was the matriarch. And the thing is, she became family to us. We called her Aunt Ellen because of that. But one day she came up to me about 3 years later. Says, David, I want you to prepare my funeral. And I said, Aunt Ellen, what's wrong? And she says, I have cancer. And it spread throughout my whole body. And I started crying, but she wasn't crying. She says, don't cry for me. I'm going to be going to see my husband soon. Don't cry for me. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I have a future. But she said, I want you to prepare my funeral because I want my family to know that Jesus can make a difference. I want my family to know that no matter what happens, I have a future in Jesus, and I'm going to be somewhere great and special, and I want you to do the ceremony. And I thought, I just wept with it. What could you say about that? It's just an amazing story. And that's exactly what happened. We had a few other people. One guy 2 years ago, he died, and a friend of mine, Lloyd, some of you guys know him. And then, of course, there's my daddy who you know, I love my daddy. And a lot of you guys know the story. He died about 25 years ago in Overlook Hospital. And I want to share this because one day, this is going to make all the difference in the world to you. One day, you know, we don't think about it now, but one day at that moment when you're in that predicament and you're in that position and you're in that place where you have nowhere to look but up, Jesus is going to make all the difference in the world. Because he got up, he's going to make all the difference in the world. And I remember talking to my daddy, and the doctor said, there's no hope. You have about a week to live, Jim. And my dad had become a Christian. We were baptized together, and it's a beautiful thing. We're very close, very close. And I wasn't a pastor then. I was just a kid. And 30-year-old kid. Hey, I'm a 57-year-old kid now. but the point is that I said, Daddy, I love you so much. And it's rough, isn't it, guys, when you have that situation? But he was a believer in Jesus. So we shared scriptures together. I shared Psalm 27. Where it says, do not fear, you know, the Lord your God, he's with you. John 14, I love John 14. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be with me. That Jesus, isn't this amazing, guys? Jesus is actually in heaven right now preparing mansions for us, preparing rooms for us. And I read that with my dad, and we wept, and I said, Dad, I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And he said, no, son, you're not going to see me tomorrow, but I'll see you in heaven. Inheritance. That's where the rubber meets the road. So the effects of the resurrection are, I'm going to call the band up right now. And on this resurrection, yes, it's Easter Sunday. Yes, some of us are broken. Some of us are abused. Some of us have been through so many things, and we don't know where to go. But because Jesus got up, we have new birth. We have an inheritance. And I want, if you're not a believer today, how does this become, how does this happen? Well, we need to have a connectedness to Jesus. We need to connect ourselves by faith to everything he did on that cross. And it simply takes acknowledgement of our sin. It takes acknowledgement of the fact that only Jesus can save us. It makes, in John, you could go to the next slides, all the way down to the bottom of that, where it takes faith that Jesus died for us. Let's go to the next slides. Keep going. Confess with your mouth. In Romans 10:9-10, it states, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, keep going, you shall be saved. John 6:37, Jesus says this, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So all it takes is this. And there's a song that we're going to do the offering after this, because this is a holy moment. I want you to listen to the words of this song. I want you to listen about the suffering of Jesus. And then after the song, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you have not done that already.